Well, today you get a special treat. I think it's a special treat. I'm gonna we have a special speaker today. Congratulations. You all didn't even know that when you showed up today. You're like, man, Nate, do you ever gonna preach at all? I took all Christmas off. Some of you would know Kai. Some of you might not. But the first time I ever met Kai, she had crazy dreadlocks, and I thought, who is this girl? I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not. Are you a dreadlock person? Like, do you have a lot of friends with dreads? I never did. And so, like, it was kind of like, do you just not wash that? What's going on? Like, that's a little, you know. Do you have hygiene at all? But she didn't stink, so there was an upside there. She must do something, you know. But then they were gone, and she won't have them today, and she'll have normal hair, so don't worry. But I met her, and she was on her way to Oklahoma Wesleyan, which is one of our Wesleyan schools. She was headed to study ministry and has been down there for a couple years now, set to graduate soon. Probably excited about that. And she was going to be home, and I said, hey, while you're here, you should speak to us and talk to us about things God's been working on, and or that you've worked on messages while you've been there and all that kind of stuff, and we love to hear from you. So she's going to share with us this morning from the Word of God. I'm thankful that she is, and just want to welcome you back for the, I know you're going to head back to school soon, but we're glad you're here for Christmas, and come share with us, and yeah, you can come on up.
Okay, good.
All right. So this is Kai.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if I was just supposed to walk up or not. Okay. Good. Does it go down? Yes. Okay, cool. Hi. My name's Kai. I belong to Sadra and Darren Danicus. And if you don't know them, then you should get to know them. They're pretty interesting people. Fun people, sorry. Interesting, maybe not the right word. But they're fun people. And I, as Nate said, am a senior at Oklahoma Wesleyan. I've been there all 4 years, and I'm graduating in May with a Bachelor of Science in Pastoral Ministry. I forgot for a second. In Pastoral Ministry with a minor in Counseling. And it has been an adventure, to say the least. Oklahoma is nothing like Washington. For starters, we don't get snow. And if we do get snow, the entire town shuts down. I remember it was probably my sophomore year. We got maybe a quarter of an inch, and people were losing their minds. They were like Walmart was out of stock because everybody thought that it was Armageddon or something. And one of my friends is from Minnesota, and I'm from Washington, and so we were outside, and we were like, you can't even pack this and like have a snowball fight or anything. Like, the school literally shut down. We didn't have classes for 2 days. So it's interesting. That's like not even in my notes. I just wanted to share that with you. But I am going to share a little bit of my background with you today. As I said, I belong to Sadra and Darren. Darren is actually my stepdad, though, and my mom was a teen when she had me. So for the first 7 years of my life, I only had my mom before she married my dad. But growing up, my biological dad was only kind of in my life sometimes. For the first probably 5 years, he was in the military, so he wasn't even around. And then when he was, it was really different. It wasn't like a normal like daughter-father relationship. My dad was like 25, and because he was in the military, he didn't really sow his oats or whatever guys do. So he came home and like partied all the time. And when I would get to go with him, it was like, we didn't like play Monopoly or whatever. My dad would have these parties where we would play beer darts and beer ping pong, which I didn't think you probably didn't think you're gonna hear about that this morning. But I would be his teammate against his other 25-year-old bros. And the way beer darts works is you have a dartboard and you put four beers on it, and then there's one person, or there's two people on that side and two people on this side, and you take darts and try to hit the beer can, which is, there you go, some knowledge for you. And so at 5 and 6 years old, that's kind of my experience with my dad. It wasn't really a let's get to know each other. It was a he was never really sober type thing, and it wasn't, it's not like my mom like dropped me off there and just shipped me there for long periods of time. It was like maybe a night every month or something, you know, but that was my experience with him. And I always found that when he was intoxicated, he would say and do hurtful things. And I thought that was normal until I went to my friend's house and her dad was like sober and like made breakfast and stuff. It was like really weird. And so I started to become really resentful towards him. Really, really resentful. And we had this big fallout when I was probably 12 or 13, and we didn't talk again until I was 16 when he had his second child and he turned his life around. And with that, along with the theme of New Year, New Me, he had that attitude and he came and he apologized to me for not being there. And 16 angst-filled me, instead of being like, yeah, heck yeah, I got a dad, I was like, get the heck away from me, dude. I don't know you. I don't want anything to do with you. I just said heck. Sorry. And, wow. I just kind of blew him off. And that was the end of our relationship, or what could have been our relationship. And so today, we're going to talk about relationships with other people. And so I've got some questions to kind of get you thinking. In your relationships with other people, do you strive for harmony with them? Do you ignore the problem if there is ever a problem? Do you just ignore it and pretend it's not there? Or do you have a tendency to kind of throw things back in people's faces and hold grudges against them? And you don't have to like say that out loud, just think about that. In our relationships, we need to strive for reconciliation. And if you don't know what that means, then that's okay. It means to restore or have reunion or bring together again. Do you strive for that in your relationships with other people? We're going to be in Jeremiah 3 today. If you have a Bible, you can open it to that. And if you don't have a Bible, it's okay. It's going to be up on the screen. And I'm also going to read it. Jeremiah 3, we're going to start in verse 6. And Jeremiah is one of those books in the Bible that I don't think we talk about a whole lot. Honestly, we probably don't talk about the Old Testament as much as we should, just because it's like that big daunting thing where like it seems God's always angry. But Jeremiah is one of the major prophets for Israel, and he's known as the weeping prophet because his entire life from conception to death was spent trying to get Israel back on track with God. So verse 6 says, "Then the Lord said to me in the days of Josiah the king, 'Have you seen what faithless Israel did? She went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and she was a harlot there. I thought, after she has done all these things, she'll return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister, Judah, saw it. And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce. Yet her sister Judah did not fear. And she went, and she was also a harlot. Because of the lightness of her harlotry, she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. Yet in spite of all this, her sister did not return to me with all her heart, but rather in deception, declares the Lord. And then the Lord said, faithless Israel has proved herself more righteous than Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, faithless Israel. I will not look upon you in anger, for I am gracious. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree, and that you have not obeyed my voice.'" And that's kind of a heavy passage, and there's a lot going on, and so I'm just going to break it down verse by verse so that we can kind of unpack what's going on here. Jeremiah is conveying a message from God to the people of Israel. And he starts out by pointing out Israel's adultery. He says, "Have you seen what faithless Israel did? She went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and she was a harlot there. I thought that after she had done all these things, she would return to me." And this is an interesting use of imagery here, because what Jeremiah is talking about is idolatry, which is worshiping idols, worshiping anything other than God. But he doesn't say your idolatry has pushed you away from God. He says you've committed adultery. And adultery is typically within a marriage. And it's where the wife or the husband commits to somebody else outside of their marriage. And a marriage is a really intimate thing. And it's interesting because it's describing this intimate relationship between the people of Israel and God and how they have broken that bond between God. And this is because Israel, like I said, has gone astray. And this isn't surprising necessarily because literally every single book in the Old Testament is about Israel going astray. It's about Israel committing adultery and then getting back on track with God and then committing adultery and then getting back on track with God. It's like constant. And I think it's really easy for us to look at that image and think like, wow, Israel, you're really dumb. It's really easy to just have a relationship with God. But spoiler alert, if you didn't know this, we do the same thing daily for some of us. It's just not in the same way. Like, we're not literally forging golden calves and praising it. It's in the smaller things. For some of us, it's our cell phones. Some of us, it's money or celebrities. We got to keep up with the Kardashians. Facebook, food, sleep, procrastination, especially if you're a student. I don't know why that's a thing. For me, the number one thing that I just always, it always gets me is Netflix. Netflix is like my guilty thing. And I don't even know how it happens. I go on and I'm like, okay, I've got 20 minutes to take a break from studying. And then like 3 hours later, I'm like, what the heck? I know all of life's secrets because I just watched this documentary on pyramids, right? Like, it's completely irrelevant. But we do things like that. We waste so much time doing these things. One thing that is like, I'm not proud when I say this at all. Like, it's really kind of embarrassing. But I'm really good at finishing a season of a show in like 5 hours. Like, somehow I make these 40-minute episodes compressed so that I can finish an entire season. And how many, does anybody watch or use Netflix? Yeah? Have you guys heard of Stranger Things? Yeah? Okay. I finished that in one day. Oh yeah, I did. That's not the proud thing. That's like shameful. But it's really incredible. And if you don't know what it is, you should get on Netflix and check it out. It's incredible. Winona Ryder's in it. I really love her. But it was a Sunday. It was like 70 degrees out. It was so nice. It was like in November, which is really weird. Oklahoma is really weird weather, like I said. But I went to church, and I went back to my dorm room, and my friend says, have you heard of Stranger Things? And I said, no, I don't really want to watch it. Like, everybody watches it. That sounds stupid. She said, let's just watch the first episode. And then it was 8 o'clock at night, and I'm crying because I just finished the 12th episode, and I got nothing done that day. Like, nothing. I didn't even eat. Like, it was intense. And that's not a good thing. That isn't a good thing. I think we can all look at that and see that behavior isn't okay, but we still do it. Like, isn't that the weird thing? We do these behaviors, and we're like, well, that's not okay. I can't do that again. And then it's like week two, still doing the same thing. And that is adultery. That is committing to an intimate relationship with things that God did not intend for us to have an intimate relationship with. It's committing to an intimate relationship with the world when it should be with God. The next verses say, but she did not return, and her sister Judah saw it. And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce. Yet her sister Judah did not fear, but she went and was a harlot also. And that's still carrying on with adultery. And there can be some confusion here about the talk of Israel and Judah as if they're separate. They're two separate kingdoms with two separate rulers, but they're still the one people of God. And in this, Israel, which is the northern kingdom, starts worshiping other things, starts worshiping anything but God. And then Judah saw it, and so they followed that lead. And I think parents of teenagers can relate to that. It's that fear of peer pressure. And teens kind of fear that too. I remember being in high school and thinking, like, I hope nobody asks me to smoke weed because I can't do it. I never did. But I was, like, always so scared of it. And I think parents fear that. And an example of that is from the book of Exodus. And you don't have to turn to that. I'll just kind of give you an idea of what it is. But it's found in Exodus 32. And it's this interesting story of Moses and Aaron. And if you don't know who Moses is the guy that led the Israelites out of Egypt from slavery under Pharaoh. And Aaron was Moses' spokesperson and the first priest. And so they leave Egypt, and they come to this point, and Moses goes on top of this mountain to hear from God. And while he is on the mountain, Aaron is the guy that's in charge. He's the leader. He's the guy that they look to for guidance. And Moses is on the mountain for a little too long, a little too long for him. They start to get really restless, and they're complaining to Aaron, and they ask him to make an idol for him. And it's interesting to me because these people were literally just led out of enslavement, where they are treated like garbage. They watch a sea be parted before their eyes to escape Pharaoh's army. They watch this water sprout out of this rock. Like, they've seen all these things. And then Moses is on top of the mountain for a little longer than they're comfortable with. And they're like, this guy's a fraud. He's a fluke. Make us a god. Make us an idol. And Aaron, the guy that God ordained, that God made a special position for, is like, yeah, okay, let's make a gold idol. Give me your earrings. I'll make it for you. And that's incredible to me. That's so crazy to me. Because Aaron is the guy that's in charge, who's supposed to lead them. And so quickly, he compromises his integrity for the people around him. So quickly. And I think a lot of the times we do the same thing as Christians. We compromise our integrity. We compromise our faith to make the people around us comfortable. And I'm not saying we, like, need to go around and make people uncomfortable and be like, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Like, that is uncomfortable. But it's the little things, like when people are cussing and then you also start cussing. You know, it's the small things like that that compromise your integrity, that make you look no different from everybody else. And so many of us do that, and we forget about the bigger picture at hand, because we're so focused on right now, that we forget that our actions have bigger consequences. So when we're forming relationships with the world and with worldly things, with things other than God, we lead others astray, because we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be the light to other people. And when we aren't doing that, they see that we're no different. And what we should start doing is being more conscientious of our actions. Just the small things. Just the small things. We need to start thinking more deeply about the consequences of our actions, because we have a bigger audience than just God, and our actions convey a bigger message about, it's bigger than just our character, it also conveys the message of God's character, because you're God's spokesperson. The last few verses that I want to look at say, return, faithless Israel, I will not look upon you in anger, for I am gracious. I will not be angry forever, only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, that you have not obeyed my voice. And the point here in these verses is that when we apologize, the Lord forgives our transgressions and he restores us. Or a churchy word, when we repent, the Lord forgives our transgressions and restores us. And I think that's something that, like, we all know. Like, that's something that's pretty often talked about in church. But it goes a little further than that. This, Jeremiah 3, is one of my favorite passages ever. It came to me when I was struggling a lot with guilt. I didn't know how redeeming these verses would be when I was the transgressor. But they took on a whole new meaning for me when I was the person that was being hurt, when I was the person that people were transgressing against. And at the beginning, I talked about, I gave an example of my relationship with my dad, but I'm going to talk about a different one. It's really silly. This is one of my favorite stories. I don't know if you guys know my brothers, Cooper and Grayson, but they are a lot like Tom and Jerry. They're constantly like at each other, and not like in a mean way, just in a like who can get under the other person's skin first kind of way. And Grayson is 3 years older than Cooper, so of course he always takes like the older sibling thing, and he's still bigger than Cooper, so it's like in his advantage. But he loves to torment Cooper. And they're constantly being separated by my parents. Like, you go to your room, you go to your room. Don't talk to each other. Don't look at each other. Don't breathe next to each other because it just annoys each other. But this one day, they're eating jelly beans. And they weren't just any jelly beans. They're Bertie Bott's jelly beans. And if you don't know what that is, it's from Harry Potter. And it's like this huge assortment of different flavors. And I'm going to read off a couple. There's flavors like banana, black pepper, blueberry, booger, candy floss, cherry, cinnamon, dirt, earthworm, earwax, grass, green apple, marshmallow, rotten egg, sausage, lemon, soap, tutti frutti, vomit, and watermelon. And those are just a few. Those aren't even all the flavors. And you can maybe imagine where this story is going. Grayson had the jelly beans, and he's sharing them with Cooper, as older siblings do. And Grayson goes, "Cooper, you should try this jelly bean. It's really, really good. You should eat this one." And Cooper is so gullible. It's really cute, but it's also painful to watch sometimes. So he just eats it. He just eats this jelly bean. And he immediately starts gagging and crying because he ate a bad jelly bean that Grayson fed to him. And Cooper's yelling and crying, and Grayson's laughing, and it's a mess. And then they start to calm down, and Grayson apologizes, and everything's back to normal. And maybe not even 5 minutes later, Grayson gets another jelly bean, and he says, "Cooper, you should try this jelly bean. It's really, really good." And Cooper's like, "Yeah, okay." So he eats it, and he immediately starts gagging because it's the rotten egg jelly bean, and he's crying, and like fumes are coming out of his mouth, and it's repeat. Like, Cooper calms down, Grayson apologizes, everything's back to normal. It happens for a third time. It happens a third time, which is like, at this point, everybody's watching, and they're going, "Cooper, come on, like, you're intelligent. You're really intelligent. Why is this happening?" But Cooper eats it and starts crying, and like, it's a mess, and he's screaming at Grayson. And they kind of stop for a minute, and Cooper says, "Why would you do that? Why would you do that to me?" And Grayson like realizes that that's kind of a jerk move to feed your brother three gross jelly beans in a row, like not even 5 minutes apart from each other. And he stops and he says, "You know, Cooper, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm not going to do it again." And Cooper is like, "Okay, fine." You know, wipes his tears off and he's like, "Let's eat some more jelly beans." And we can look at that and see the humor in it because it's a funny story. But I think there's times where we're the people feeding the people around us jelly beans, the bad jelly beans. We're purposely hurting the people around us. Or maybe we're on the flip side and we're the ones eating jelly beans and accepting it from other people and just waiting for them to apologize. And this verse, Jeremiah 3, is setting the expectation for us. In the way that we approach the Lord, in the way that we say, God, I'm so sorry, I repent of that, I'm not going to do it again, and he restores us, we have to do that with the people around us as well. When somebody repeatedly hurts us, and the final time it happens, and they come to us and say, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to do it again, we need to get to that place where we say, okay, I forgive you. I'm restoring you to that previous position that you had in my life. And the application is that we can't hold grudges. We can't hold grudges against people or even expect them to hurt us when they've come clean with us. Israel, time and time again, transgressed against God. And every single time, God opened his arms and said, okay, come to me. Come to me. I accept you. Knowing full well that Israel was going to do it again. Like, it wasn't a secret. It's God. He knew. But time and time again, it happened. And I want to make it clear that I don't think this is easy. I really don't. This isn't an easy thing to grasp. It's not an easy thing to apply. It's honestly a little hard to even think about because a lot of people have hurt us. But we're called to reflect the character of Christ. Some steps to taking that, to entering into this, because it's not something that we can just do. It's not just something where we say, you know, oh yeah, you've hurt me. Come on in. I'll make you dinner. That's not a natural thing for us. And so the first thing that I would suggest is submission to God. It's not easy to forgive other people or even reflect God's character when we're not in submission to God. Another thing is prayer. Sometimes it's painful to pray for the people that have hurt us, or sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. Maybe you're at the point where you're like, I don't even know what to pray. You can pray about that. God, I have no idea what I'm supposed to pray for this person. Please identify it to me. And he will. And the last thing, which like seems silly, but the last thing would to be willing. When we're not willing, then nothing can happen. This message is just as hard for me. Like when God kind of put this on my heart, I was like, no way, God. But it happened. It came out. And I get that it's not an easy thing, but we do need to strive to reflect the character of God. And that includes reconciliation in our relationships with other people. I'm going to ask that we bow our heads so we can pray. Lord, we come before you so grateful for your forgiving nature. It's really amazing how much you love us that you would send your son to die on the cross for us. And my prayer here is that we learn to love and forgive like you. Please continue to give us lessons every day. And please grow our understanding of you. Please ready our hearts and push us to grow, to be more like your son. God, we're desperate for you in this time when things are so dark. Be in our hearts and minds as we continue this week. Amen. You're dismissed? Good.